Thank you for helping us make Budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 4 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to partnering with you again in 2012. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We invite you to join us on November 7th through 9th, 2011, here on this beautiful campus to come and join other academics and business leaders, faith leaders, students, and anyone else who's interested in faith and spirituality in the workplace. The purpose of our conference is to share leading-edge thinking, leading-edge practices, and then to explore how can we help each other go what the next step of what needs to happen next.
This is Dr. Judy Neal. She's a leader in the workplace spirituality movement, talking about the International Faith and Spirit at Work Conference. Now, you've probably heard about this. I've heard it actually, not only this, but certain elements of it advertised on the radio where I live. What is the workplace spirituality movement? Is it, in any sense, Christian? Joining us to talk about it, Jason Barker, publication specialist for Watchman Fellowship, author of a recent article titled, Is the Workplace Spirituality Movement Christian? Jason, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, maybe the best first question here is simply, just because something is or claims to be spiritual, does that necessarily make it in any sense Christian?
Well, of course it doesn't. The term spirituality is now this really almost empty phrase that can be used that anyone can put their own meaning into it. And if we think of spirituality, we can think of 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, where John warns, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." Certainly, spirituality can be true. It can be false.
So what is the workplace spirituality movement?
A lot like the New Age movement, it's difficult to lump all of these ideologies into one single cohesive movement. But it generally refers to the idea that one in their workplace, in their job, can achieve spiritual fulfillment, that they can manifest their purpose in life, they can experience full satisfaction, full creativity, they really can realize and idealize who they are and what they do.
One of the things that I think confuses people is that there seems to be some kind of connections to Christian organizations or Christian groups that have some kind of sponsorship role for the spirituality movement.
Sure. In fact, the article that inspired my writing, my blog article, was written by someone who specializes in studying workplace spirituality. In fact, he's getting his doctorate in it. And in his article, he claimed that this conference that he went to was largely sponsored by Christian organizations. And so I went through and looked at the list of sponsors for the conference, and three of the top sponsors were either explicitly Christian or at least Christian influenced. A couple of them were medical organizations that have, you know, kind of Catholic backgrounds with their hospitals, and then there also was Dayspring, that branch of Hallmark, publishing Christian greeting cards. So certainly there is Christian interest in workplace spirituality.
Does that mean that because these sponsors have some connection to the workplace spirituality movement, does that make the movement itself Christian?
That is what the author of the original article claimed, and as I go through his article and respond to it, I point out that it doesn't, that the mere fact that there are Christian organizations who help sponsor this conference means little, in large part because the primary characteristic of all the organizations, or at least most of them that sponsored the conference, was their closeness geographically to where the conference was held in northern Arkansas. But also, the fact that there are Christians or people who claim to be Christian who are involved with the movement has little to do with whether or not true Christianity is the basis for the movement.
What is the basis for the movement, as far as you can tell, if you're going to categorize it in terms of the particular brand or type of spirituality it encourages and teaches?
There are a couple of scholars whose names I don't remember off the top of my head, so unfortunately I can't directly credit them, but they use the term pragmatic spirituality. And if we think back to William James and pragmatism, it's really a spirituality of what works for you, and that really depends on who are you, what are your goals, what would you like to achieve, what would you like to feel. Then you develop your spiritual discipline or your spiritual worldview that helps you achieve those, and thus you have your pragmatic spirituality. And that really is what undergirds the workplace spirituality movement. They're looking at what do you want to achieve, what do you want to feel, how do you, who do you really want to be? And then based on those goals, you craft your spiritual worldview that can then be enacted in the workplace.
So it really is, I mean, you use the term pragmatic, it really is kind of a results-oriented spirituality. It's not a spirituality that has any definite shape in and of itself.
No, it's entirely self-defined based on whatever your goals may be, whether they're financial, whether it's simply organizational status, whether it's a feeling of creative fulfillment, whatever it is you want to be, you define that goal, and then you define your spirituality to achieve that goal.
I know that you can't speak to the motives of Christian organizations or Christian-ish organizations that have sponsored this, but why do you think, or do you think that Christian organizations ought to take a closer look at what's being promoted in the workplace spirituality movement before lending their dollars or their sponsorship to it?
Well, that certainly should be a concern, particularly for the explicitly Christian organizations. I'm less concerned with what, say, Dayspring, which is the branch of a large inspirational greeting card company, Hallmark, they may not be as directly concerned with what are the specific beliefs and values being presented in this conference, so long as they are positive, inspirational. But for more explicitly, overtly Christian organizations, certainly if you are Christian, you would want Christianity, true Christianity, to be the foundation rather than this nebulous emotion and results-oriented based spirituality.
Let's talk a little bit about the pragmatic nature of it. One of the people that you cite in your article that has analyzed this call a technical spirituality. What does that mean?
That, again, it's tying into, with the technical, it's really looking at the technique. It's looking at what are your goals, what exactly are you wanting to achieve? And with this spirituality, you usually have to get very detailed. You spend a lot of time charting things out and outlining and listing. So what specifically do you want to achieve? Then you look at what techniques or what practices do you need to adopt to achieve those. And therefore, if you are wanting to be particularly successful in a services-oriented industry, you might want to adopt a spirituality that helps you be outgoing and helps you be seen as helpful towards others. If you want to succeed in a more cutthroat industry, well, then you're going to have a more militant activist spirituality. It's really looking at the specific practices that could be pulled from any number of religions and disciplines. There's practices that can help you achieve the very specific goals that you've set for yourself.
It sounds like it's radically individualistic, too.
Absolutely. And that really would be key for the movement within the workplace. If you're looking at a workplace spirituality, Christian spirituality, not Christian belief and Christian practice, but workplace spirituality, the two things a secular organization would want to see with that are improving yourself so that you become more creative, more productive, and also one of the things that's been found in studies of workplace spirituality is you're happier, because if you're happier and feeling more fulfilled, then you'll be more productive. So they want you to improve yourself individually, but then also the spirituality should be centered in the workplace so that, in essence, your job and your employer, your organization, becomes your religion.
That seems rather backward to a classical Christian view of spirituality, which is not directed toward self, but toward God and faith and neighbor in love. Not really concerned about results or the benefit that I or my employer may necessarily reap from it.
Oh, no. If we look at the Christian understanding of vocation, love your neighbor as yourself is at the very heart of the idea of vocation, of in the world demonstrating God's love, working, achieving God's purposes for upholding the world, for serving other people. Whereas with the workplace spirituality movement, generally speaking, serving others is secondary. You serve others only insofar as ultimately that serves yourself and your own agenda.
I mean, really, this is not only radically individualistic, it's, I mean, to put a harsher term on it, it's just pretty much self-serving, isn't it?
Certainly. Yourself, your identity, your goals, your wants, your desires are fully what drive the movement. And if you read the literature, if you attend the seminars, watch documentaries during PBS pledge drives, they're all about you. What do you want? How can you get it?
Well, when we come back, that sounds pretty much like the opposite of what Christians consider to be spirituality. So is there any place in the workplace spirituality movement for Orthodox Christianity? Our guest, Jason Barker, is publications specialist for Watchman Fellowship, author of a recent article titled, Is the Workplace Spirituality Movement Christian? Now, if you've heard about the workplace spirituality movement, or maybe you've been involved in it, or you know someone who has been, I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MY-IE. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 17th of January. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. I can certainly see why employers or companies might find this useful to encourage among their employees, because it basically, well, makes them work harder, or at least has the potential to make them work harder. But does it have to fly under the banner of spirituality? We'll be right back.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Defending the faith. Teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Jason Barker is our guest. We're talking about the workplace spirituality movement. Another 10 minutes with him. In hour two of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute will be our guest. We're going to talk about some of the rhetorical tactics used by the opponents of natural marriage, basically coming down to accusing you of saying something you never really said. And wow, it's effective. It works. It's hardly honest, but we'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse thinks about that in about 10 minutes. Then Pastor Brian Wolfmiller of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, will join us to talk about a vocation that you may miss if you aren't paying attention, but it's all around you, the vocation of friend in hour two of Issues Etc. Jason, this kind of reminds me in its basic thrust of what we have come to call American civil religion, whereas it might in the past have had some connection to Christianity. It certainly doesn't any longer. And one a frequent guest here on the program has defined it as a kind of general spirituality that serves the interests of the state, a good definition for American civil religion. Do you see an affinity there too?
Certainly there could be that. As far as serving the interests of the state, that really would depend. Mostly it's serving the interests of the institution, whatever the institution may be.
Right.
And so certainly you get that with, there are many government agencies and departments that have had speakers in on workplace spirituality, and you get that with the state. But mostly, whatever the organization may be, it needs to be served.
What about because spirituality is generally associated with some kind of a morality, some kind of a moral standard. If you've got kind of a make-it-yourself spirituality, depending on what your professional or workplace goals might be, what kind of a morality will result from such a spirituality?
Really, you would get the corporate moral culture that you see now. You get the claim with the workplace spirituality movement that ethics will improve and increase as spirituality within the workplace increases, because then you'll have harmony and peace and unity and all of the happy talk that you get with the kind of nebulous, meaningless spirituality. But what you really have is, when spirituality is entirely agenda-driven and entirely individualistic, you have a group of individuals pursuing their own agenda, and then even worse, believing that somehow they are on a higher spiritual level for doing it. The workplace then essentially becomes a mishmash of people pursuing their own spiritual crusades.
I would be concerned as an employee that my boss might think that he has some sort of a spiritual authority to say, you know, head in some direction in terms of the business, or an employer that my employees would feel that they have some sort of divine or spiritual authority to head in a direction that's not in the best interests of the company or any directive I might give.
Yes, and that is a real problem. Those of us who work primarily in Christian organizations, of course, we're very fortunate. We have good Christian leaders, but there are those of us who at various times work for or have worked with churches or organizations where you'll get an individual who has his own agenda and his own ethics and his own morality, but somehow uses, if you allow the term, the God stick to beat his employees or staff into following him on his agenda. That same horrible abuse of Christianity can occur even more easily when you have a nebulous spirituality. You can have the visionary leader who leads his people and believes that he's on a higher plane and has the great gifted vision, and take people into a horrible direction. And if he's the great gifted visionary, how can you argue with his nebulous vision?
What would you say to someone, a Christian employee, who says, look, I can just kind of plug my Christianity into this system? The guy in the next cubicle may be using a Buddhist spirituality or New Age. The guy down the hall may be using something he's just kind of made up on the fly. But I'm a Christian. I can take my Christian spirituality and plug it into the system of the workplace spirituality movement and achieve the same results.
There are really two responses, and that would depend in some ways upon what the person means by that. if what he means is simply, is it possible for me to live out my vocation within this this spiritually pluralistic environment? Absolutely. But if what he means is, can I somehow use Christianity in the same way that this other person is using Buddhism and that person across the aisle is using New Age, then you can't, because Christianity, as we've already discussed, is not individualistic, it's not self-centered, it's not about serving yourself and pursuing your goals. So if you are trying to use Christianity in that same way as other people might use different spiritualities, you are simply abusing and polluting Christianity.
Isn't one of the barriers there, Jason, that just it's simply a fact that the scriptures and Orthodox Christianity define spirituality in a radically different way than any other religion or any other spiritual perspective out there?
Of course, because for us, we believe in the Holy Trinity. We believe that God calls us and brings us into relationship with Him. We believe in the personal God who saves us despite anything that we can do. That's entirely separate and different from the workplace spirituality movement, which is more often than not a secular version of pantheism, where there's this general energy that you can call on whenever you need it or want it, and it dwells in you, and you can call it up and use it to motivate and empower yourself. That has nothing to do with the God of the Bible.
How much do you think the workplace spirituality movement is a response to the kind of progressive secularization of the public square, including the workplace?
I believe that it is certainly in some ways that. Even more, it's an outgrowth of the mysticism and interest in Eastern religions that grew out of the 1960s. But then if you look at kind of that interest and then running into the spiritual vacuum of secularism, that interest in Eastern thought and mysticism then can be used to kind of fill the void that otherwise secularism left for people in their lives.
That is kind of an interesting question. You know, why is it that in an atmosphere that is increasingly secular in the public square, Eastern-type religion or spiritual techniques seem to be exempt for some reason?
In large part because of the individualism of it, in large part because with Christianity we have our sovereign Lord to whom we are answerable, to whom we are accountable, who forms us, who calls us, for whom we live. We therefore do not live for ourselves and our agenda, and we certainly don't live for the corporation and its agenda. However much we may, how hard we may work and serve the corporation, it's ultimately not our Lord. And the general secular world is going to look at a nebulous spirituality that can be bent to its ends with far more positivity than it will Christianity, where ultimately we serve God.
Finally, with about 30 seconds here, Jason, what word of caution would you speak to someone listening to us who has been invited to or is considering attending one of the seminars or one of the events of the workplace spirituality movement?
The main caution I would give is pay attention to what is being taught to you, because many of the teachings that you'll get there are solid teachings for how to get along with people. It's general interpersonal relationship teaching that can work in any context. But when you start talking about higher power and vision and all of these mystical terminology that you'll get at this sort of thing, think about how does that really interact and intersect with what you know of God and the relationship into which He's called you with Him.
Jason Barker is publication specialist for Watchman Fellowship, author of a recent article titled, Is the Workplace Spirituality Movement Christian? You can read this article under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jason, thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, the 17th of January. Jennifer Roback Morris will kick it off with us. She has been, well, I think it's safe to say she has seen her fair share of opposition in the public square, on the internet, to her notion of natural marriage. It really, for some reason, just gets people worked up to assert that marriage is a natural institution, that it's part of natural law, that there is a distinction between men and women, that gender actually matters, and that the place, the context in which gender matters most is in marriage and the family. You just post that on a blog and you'll get hundreds of responses, most of them accusing you of saying lots of things that you didn't say. Now, there's some word out that there's some research that supports same-sex marriage by evening out the differences or eliminating or ignoring the differences between gender, between male and female, both in parents and in children. We'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse has to say about all of that. Then we'll talk about the vocation of friends. Speaking of vocation, a vocation we often overlook, but it's one that intersects with a lot of our vocations. I've often said that my wife is not just my wife in that kind of legal sense. She is also, quite literally, my very best friend in the world. So let's talk about the vocation of friend from a biblical perspective with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.